Hello and welcome back to the third episode of Straight Out of Crompton. I am Laura Crompton, and on this show, as ever, I'm going to take you with me on my personal journey from Manchester, England to LA. And while I'm going, I'm going to share stories of others who have also made LA their home. Now, this week, I'm going to be catching up with TikTok megastar Nick Cho. You might know him better as Your Korean Dad. He moved to LA from the Bay Area almost 1 year ago in early 2022, and he's going to tell us all about how that's gone for him, why he made the move, whether it was the right move to make, and the things that he's experienced in LA in the last year. But before we do that, I'm going to share a little bit more about me and about how things have been going as I navigate this big move to LA as a single parent. So before we get going, I know the question that I get asked most often at the moment is how are things going with the visa, especially as people are aware that we've been having some issues. So quick update, no major news. These things are really slow, but we did get about a week ago the details of the RFE, which was the request for evidence with my visa. So I've been working with my employer and with the lawyer and with all the wonderful people that I work with to provide a lot of additional evidence and context to share with immigration that hopefully will convince them that they want me in their country. We're working on it. It's currently sitting with the lawyer. They're going to be writing up this week and submitting it. So I think it's probably going to be at least another 3 weeks before I have any sort of updates, but I will keep you posted because it's obviously critical to this podcast that I do move to LA. I mean, geez, I really hope I'm not taking you on this journey with me to then say at the end, sorry guys, didn't get the visa, but it's been a pleasure. I'm trying my very, very best to make sure that that is not the case. So instead of talking about the visa updates this week, I thought I would talk to you a little bit about my last visit to LA and some of the things that I experienced there and how that has impacted the way that I'm planning and envisaging the move. So I went over in February last year. I wanted to get a feel for LA. I mean, I've obviously been there a few times before. If you've listened to the first couple of episodes, I talked about how I had family in Simi Valley as a kid. So I used to spend summers there. I was an exchange student at UCLA when I was 20, 21. And then I've kind of passed through a few times and I have managed to maintain some of my friendships from back in, you know, 2003, I think it was, when I was at UCLA. I've also acquired friends over the years that happen to live in LA, a lot of musicians that I know that maybe I've met while they've been on tour and we've stayed in touch. So I do feel like I have this sort of footprint of friends in LA, but I wanted to go over there, get a feel for the place and really see it through the eyes of a parent, someone that's looking to live there, someone that's looking to open an office there. Because just to be clear, I'm moving with my job, but my office doesn't yet exist. So I need to identify an area of this vast city, this very uncommutable city where we're going to want to live, we're going to want to work, and it's going to be an excellent place for my son to go to school. So, you know, it's a lot of different boxes. And of course, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, everybody seems to have a distinct opinion on LA in terms of their side of town being the best spot to tick all of those boxes. So I decided this time I was going to go and get a real feel for the place. So that the areas that I spent most time, I stayed with my friend Marcel, who lives in Alhambra, which is Alhambra, maybe they say it. I'm saying it in Spanish, but out near Pasadena. So on the east side of LA, kind of just to the northeast of LA. It's very family friendly, kind of cool, kind of relaxed, sort of safe neighborhood, very chill, kind of artistic, lovely place. My only personal gripe with Alhambra is that it's too far east for me. I want to be closer to the coast. But other than that, we had a great time. One of the things that we did, which was wonderful, is that I'd arrived on a Saturday night. And because of the jet lag, I was up on Sunday morning at like 6 a.m. saying like, come on, let's go and get some coffee. And so I dragged Marcel out for a walk and we ended up deciding to go into downtown. We got into downtown LA at probably 8 a.m. I mean, there was nobody there. I've never seen anything like it. We were in, you know, the main kind of tourist hub for downtown LA and it was empty and it was hot. It was February and it was hot. I had a t-shirt and I had a hoodie and I had underneath a sports bra. I ended up stripping down to my sports bra. It was like 30 degrees, which is, I don't know, 90? I think they'd said it was one of the hottest or the hottest February day on record, which really, yeah, I had no idea that February could be that hot, but we went down to Olvera Street, which is the Mexican kind of heritage center of LA. Got some wonderful Mexican food. On the way back, I asked him to drive me past the Hotel Cecil in downtown, kind of by Skid Row. And he was like, what? And I put the address in the GPS and he's like, what is this place? And I said, let me just jump out of the car. And I jumped out and I took a picture of the Hotel Cecil and he thought I'd lost my mind. And he's like, why are you taking a picture of this old dilapidated hotel? But for true crime fans, oh my goodness. Right, my neighbors, I don't know if you can hear this. My neighbors every day knock. I don't know if they're chopping or if they're banging. Every day it's like they're hammering a picture on the wall. So apologies if you can hear some weird banging. It's happening right now, but it is what it is. It's an authentic at-home podcast recording. So shout out to the neighbors and their persistent banging. So Hotel Cecil, for anybody that doesn't know, that isn't a fan of true crime, is a very spooky, dark place that has been kind of at the epicenter of several major true crime stories in the US. I encourage you to check it out, but it's very spooky and it's kind of, what do they call it? Macabre tourism? Dark tourism, that's it. And it's funny, I posted it on my stories and I'd say 80% of the people didn't respond to it. And the 20% that did were like, oh my God, I can't believe you went past that place. And it's, you know, it's an iconic, in the worst kind of way, an iconic spot. So check it out. There's some stuff on Netflix about it. It was also the Super Bowl while I was there, on that particular day, in fact, the day after I arrived. So we ended up watching that outside a bar in the end because my friend didn't have a mask, I believe, and it was in the days where you needed to wear a mask, so we had to sit on the street and kind of peer through the window. But we watched a bit of the Super Bowl, and then I ended up moving from Pasadena to go and stay in a hotel in West Hollywood because I wanted to get a feel for that part of town, given that that's more likely where I'll be based for work. West Hollywood was cool. I was in this great hotel. It had a rooftop pool. It was just like a couple blocks from Sunset Boulevard. I remember walking up there and walking past the Oppenheim Group, you know, the home of Selling Sunset. I did all of the thing. Like, I've been to LA many times before, but this is the first time that I'd been there when Instagram was a thing, when you'd go and capture content. And I mean, it's not that I have any sort of Instagram following, but I was like, well, you know, when in LA? So I went, I found the pink wall and I got my picture by the pink wall. I took my picture outside the Oppenheim Group. I hiked with my friend and realtor, Bryn, up to the Hollywood sign. So I did a lot of these things that feel more kind of cliche things to do in LA, but I really enjoyed it. Bryn also took me out to see a few properties to get a feel for the kind of neighborhoods. I saw a place in La Brea. I saw a place out in Santa Monica. When we were at the place in Santa Monica, it was, I think, 2 days after this ridiculously hot day. And suddenly it was hailstoning. It was freezing. And these fat hailstones were coming down and really surprised me. I did not know. I thought that LA was quite sort of temperate, you know, all year round. And it had gone from one extreme to the other. But the day after the hailstones, I was back sitting by my pool on the rooftop again. So it really, no complaints at all. I also tried to see a third property. I'd been at a meeting in Beverly Hills with a client and Bryn, the realtor, had asked me to come over and meet her in Los Feliz, I think we say it. I always want to say it in Spanish, Los Feliz, but Los Feliz, I think it's pronounced, to go and see a property over there. And I tried to get an Uber and I don't know if this was just during the pandemic or if it's still the case in LA, but I was stood on Rodeo Drive because I figured I'll wait for the Uber on Rodeo Drive. I'll have a little walk up and down the drive, check out these like super fancy shops. And I called three different Ubers back to back because they each said they were going to be 15 minutes. And then just as the Uber was due to arrive, they'd cancel on me. And then again, and then again. I'm really hoping that this is just during the pandemic and maybe they were short-staffed. I don't know. Also, obviously, I plan to have a car when I live there. But my God, I've never struggled to take an Uber like I did when I was in LA. So as I'm waiting for this Uber and getting later and later and later, and Bryn is messaging me saying, I'm at the apartment, are you coming? And there was no way I was going to get there in time. But I ended up standing outside this kind of fancy cosmetic store. And there was a girl outside who, I guess she'd seen me. So in the end, she kind of asked me what I was doing and I explained to her. And so this girl, I think she said she was Russian, but she'd moved over to LA and she was working in this really lovely very high-end cosmetic store. And she said, come in while you're waiting for your Uber. Let me show you what we do. And so I sat down in this minimalist store. There was like no product out on display. It was all kind of white. And she brought out this cream and she said, I'm going to show you the impact this can have on the wrinkles under your eyes. And she put the cream on one side, on one eye bag, essentially. And she used this little fan to dry it. And then she showed me in the mirror and it was like nothing I'd ever seen. It was like someone had just stretched my skin. Like I had zero wrinkles, they'd gone. And I said, well, are you going to do the other side? And she was like, well, no, you need to buy it. I was like, oh my God, like what a technique. I now had like one young eye, one old eye. And I said to her, okay, fine. How much is this cream? I'd encourage you at this point to take a guess how much you think the cream was. I'm going to, the reveal, are you ready? The cream was $1,500. And she really, oh my God, I was like, oh, I'll think about it. And actually, when I flew back from LA a few days later, my suitcase got lost. And I thought, can you imagine the insurance claim if I tried to claim back $1,500 on a cream? They'd have laughed me out of town. But yeah, so I ended up hiking up to the Hollywood sign with Bryn that evening with one youthful eye, one haggard eye, and in all of the pictures, making sure that I put my youthful eye towards the camera. But yeah, it has got me a bit worried about the cost of kind of maintaining any sort of beauty regime in LA, because that is wild. I understand that you want to invest in your appearance, but $1,500 for a cream. Anyway, I also saw other friends there. I had a friend from university that I managed to get last minute tickets to watch Hamilton with, which was brilliant. I met Dwayne, who we all know from episode one over in Venice Beach. We had some lunch there. That was the first time I'd met him. He was a friend of a friend. And then he's living in Marina Del Rey. So he took me and showed me around his place and kind of advocated for that side of town. There were so many different opinions from so many different people that I do feel like I am going to just have to get over there and see what's available when we're ready to move and make our choices based on that. But one thing I did deduce was West Hollywood. The whole time I was in West Hollywood, which was 5 days, I did not see a single child, not one child. And I walked, you know, if I wasn't in an Uber, I was walking. I didn't see a child. So it was very easy for me to rule out West Hollywood as somewhere to live, even if it's somewhere to work. This is why I'm thinking maybe Studio City, that I can commute into West Hollywood and that might work. But West Hollywood, unless I've missed something, doesn't seem to be a place to raise a child. I was reminded, as much as we all know this, everywhere is so far. It's so hard. I mean, I missed this appointment to view the property. When I left and went back to LAX, I think it took me 2 hours to get to the airport. But on the flip side, I have so many amazing friends from different walks of life, different parts of town, which is really, really exciting to know that I have that support network there and I can build, you know, I have a foundation on which to build stuff. I was also reminded that how diverse the city was. There's so much to do. You just cannot get bored in LA. You cannot run out of things to do, which is exciting. And I guess I also learned that even when it hails in February, you can sunbathe the next day, which is absolutely not something you can do in Manchester. So that is a winner for me. But yeah, I need to get saving for my beauty costs. That $1,500 face cream is... Do I pay my rent? Do I buy the face cream? That's the question. We'll see. If you see me looking suspiciously youthful, you'll know which one I chose. This week's guest is an internet sensation. He's a dad to literally millions of people, and he's a good friend of mine. Nick Cho's life changed dramatically when, during the pandemic, his fledgling TikTok channel under the name Your Korean Dad took off, earning him millions of followers and prompting him to change careers, and with it, to move to LA. Now Nick has decided to do a very LA thing and do the interview from his car as he navigates that famous LA traffic, so you will hear some engine noise in the interview. You've basically got the full LA experience. Welcome to Straight Out of Crompton, Nick Cho. Absolutely delighted to have you with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself.
Well, right now I'm driving. What is this? Is this the 101? No, this is the 10. You're here in Los Angeles. I am a content creator, formerly a coffee expert. Right now, I'm driving down to San Diego from Los Angeles. I mean, Laura, we talked about this before, that it'd be kind of fun to do a chat from the road, just because when you recommended a time, I said, well, I'll be driving then, but maybe that could be fun too. And so my girlfriend Kimmy and I, she's riding shotgun, as we say here in the States. Do we say shotgun out there?
I feel like we've acquired some terminology from you guys. I feel like there's very little you could say that we wouldn't understand. Although, this week, I have a colleague in the US, Annie, and she told me that she'd sent a messenger. And I was like, what's a messenger? A courier is a messenger, apparently. Who knew? I learned a new American word this week.
Is that a thing?
Would you say a messenger?
No.
Okay, Annie, if you're listening, stop teaching me bad words in American English. Only teach me words I'm going to need. Yeah, she kept talking about a messenger, and I was like, wow, what's a messenger? Yeah. What was a delivery guy?
Yeah. A delivery guy. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, people are going to be casual with their terminology. I mean, this is a big country, the U.S.,
yeah,
that was a big state, California, and even LA is really big. I hope you're ready.
I'm ready to buy a very comfortable car, I think. That's what I learned from Tarquin last week, that I need a comfortable car, a good playlist, and be prepared for life on the road.
I mean, when I moved here, now I started looking for a place. I moved here just over a year ago. So it was January 2022 when I was looking for a place to live for myself and my two daughters. And it was funny, like, when I finally found a place that I really liked, I had told some of my friends where I was going to live. They said, oh, that's great. No one's ever going to visit you there. And I was shocked. I was like, what do you mean no one's going to visit me? They said, you don't understand. Like, people in LA don't tend to like to leave their neighborhood, their enclave, you know, whatever, or go very far because, you know, traffic can be so brutal. And sure enough, none of those friends have visited yet. They keep threatening to, or they keep promising to. But I don't know. I think that the whole traffic thing, I mean, when you encounter it, you encounter it. But depending on where you're going to live.
Where in LA are you based?
I'm it's one of those neighborhoods that is sort of like in between a few. Mm-hmm. So there's a big shopping center called The Grove, which is very well known. Mm-hmm. So I'm just east of The Grove, like I think it's half a mile. I don't know how many kilometers that is. Yeah, so it's very central in that way.
I was going to say, that seems super central. Who would not come
to
see
you
there?
It's central, but the problem is that it's not close to any of the freeways. Oh. And Los Angeles is very, as you know, like, so the arteries, the freeway system is so, you know, important to the driving culture here in Los Angeles. So, yeah, that's my understanding anyway. I learned recently something really interesting, which is that one of the reasons why Los Angeles is so freeway-centric and why the public transit is so notoriously bad is actually, ironically, because it was so good initially, that it was one of the first major cities in the United States that had a really, like, robust, like, electric car system. And that when, you know, Ford and all the automotive industry was really booming, that they kind of targeted Los Angeles as needing to sort of turn it over into a car culture. You know, sort of like, it's almost like that New York, like, if we can make it here, we can make it anywhere kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. And that because of that sort of political pressure and economic pressure is actually why LA is the way that it is. And that's so interesting to me.
So you've moved from San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken, to LA?
Yeah, San Francisco. So for the last 20 years-ish, my sort of professional identity was actually, of all things, as a specialty coffee industry expert and cafe owner and entrepreneur. I opened a cafe, my first cafe, just about 20 years ago in the Washington, D.C. area. It was called Murky Coffee. And about 12 years ago, I moved to the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and set up a new company called Wrecking Ball Coffee with my then partner. And, you know, as life sometimes happens, and we can get into some of these things, I'm sort of an open book, like I think that you are also, that I ended a marriage and you know, 13-year relationship just over a year ago at the end of 2021. And it felt like the right thing to do, considering my sort of new career as a content creator. And not to mention the fact that Los Angeles, I have more friends here than I do in San Francisco. And it just, I don't know, it just felt like the right thing to do, considering, you know, there's some entertainment type projects that I've been working on. It's funny though, I keep telling my friends, I still have yet to do a single meeting or work thing here in Los Angeles that sort of justified my move.
That is crazy. You told me that the other day, and I was like, because if I don't want to put words in your mouth, you tell me what happened during the pandemic when you went on TikTok and you created this channel that has kind of redefined you, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's become a new career. You know, I've been making little videos since I was 13, 14 years old. I had an uncle that was like, on these videos, every time he would take it at a family function, the audio would be dominated by my voice standing next to him, asking him all about the video camera. You know, like, how does this work? What does this do? You know, things like that. I need to exit. We're going to go from the 10 to the 71.
Wow. I don't know that there's ever been a podcast where you've traversed the freeways of LA virtually in your ears from across the world. We're all on this journey with you.
I think it adds a little bit of a certain kind of flavor.
Yeah.
And so in high school, I was, you know, at that point, my father had, you know, our family had our own video camera. And so I was making little videos for fun and for school projects. So it was toward the middle end of 2019. And I have these, you know, two teenage daughters, Madeline and Penelope. And they came to me and they said, you know, you should be really making videos for TikTok. You know, it's this short form video platform. But at that time, it was still fairly new. It had, you know, before that been this app called Musical.ly, where people were doing a lot of lip syncing to different songs and different little meme audios and things like that. So I just kind of like got familiarized with the platform, familiarized more, maybe more importantly, with the culture of TikTok, and just started making random videos and made a little bit of coffee brewing videos and little kind of jokey, kind of meme-y things. Toward the beginning of 2020, you know, right before the pandemic, you know, I thought, you know, this is pretty fun. And just as a personal kind of exercise, it wasn't, you know, most people I know who are successful on TikTok or on these social media platforms, no one set out to see any fame or success or anything. It was more just, you know, sort of a craft, kind of an expression, just something fun. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, most often just for themselves and their friends, you know, friends and family kind of thing.
Sure.
And so, but that said, I thought, you know, this is kind of a fun sort of thing. There was something that compelled me to want to come up with a concept that was a little bit more focused instead of just making this and that, like kind of having a persona. And, you know, at that point, being in my, you know, mid to late 40s and having teenage daughters and, you know, I think everyone goes through a certain sort of like thinking about your identity as a parent versus as the rest of you kind of thing. So for this video thing, I thought like, maybe I'll just lean into the dad part. So I got the dad. So I'm going to make dad content. And then I realized, what if I'm like Korean dad? Because, you know, Korean culture is very popular around the world through K-pop and Korean food and things like that. And the other reason being, if I say I'm Korean at the beginning of the video, they can't ask me what kind of Asian I am, because I've already said so, which is important. And then the other thing that I realized was with this sort of new kind of platform of TikTok, I realized that it was a much more intimate sort of viewing experience than like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. There was something about TikTok, you know, just kind of like, Laura, we're, you know, doing a podcast because it's a very personal experience. Like, you know, I have my AirPod in my ear right now. Mm-hmm. Like the audio is being injected into your head, you know, when you're wearing headphones. There's something about that experience, right? And, you know, you have such a lovely voice, and for people to be able to enjoy not only, you know, the conversation, but, you know, the smooth, you know, Laura Crompton kind of, you know, vocal tone, you know, all these things, you know, you put it all together, it's a wonderful experience, and it's very intimate. TikTok, I found, has a lot of those similar sort of qualities. Like, it's just you, like, curled up in bed very often with all these little videos. And so I realized that I'm kind of entering a sacred space, especially if we're talking about young people. You know, what kind of content could I make that would sort of deserve or be fitting of such an intimate space? And so that's where I kind of added the your part to kind of make it even more personal. Mm. Like, I'm not just a Korean dad or the Korean dad, but I'm your Korean dad, and kind of making it more almost like a virtual reality, what they call POV, point of view type experience, where it's like, you know, come along with me and experience what it's like to essentially be my kid. And so, yeah, so as a long-winded way, you know, to sort of introduce the idea that around April of 2020 was when I posted my first kind of video where I introduced myself with this little intro. Hi, I'm your Korean dad. And at that point, you know, had maybe 150 followers, maybe a little bit more than that from the couple viral moments that I had. And, you know, a few years later, I mean, I think 3.1 million at last count.
It's you're right. It's extremely intimate. And I mean, I think you know this. I am still to this day not on TikTok, so I do apologize. I was going to say I feel too old for TikTok, but then you're a little bit older than me, so I have no excuse. Watch your TikTok videos on Instagram. I'm still consuming the content. I'm just consuming it on Instagram. I read some of the comments on there, and the way that it was resonating with different people, and particularly people who don't necessarily have a father figure anymore, or have never had a father figure, or have a difficult relationship with their father, and then I kind of started to see it through their eyes, and I see how it works. Do you feel a lot of pressure now? Do you feel like you've become the dad of all these people? Are they waiting for your content, and do you feel like you need to kind of keep producing it for them?
We as human beings are not actually capable of conceiving of numbers. I forget what the scientists say, but, like, you know, definitely larger than like 10,000. Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, to try to wrap your brain around hundreds of thousands of people watching your video, you know, tens of thousands of comments and, you know, engagement, all that sort of stuff. You know, for me, it really did come in handy in my experience running coffee shops where, you know, you have like 300-400 customers a day, and you have every so often someone who will come in and, you know, have a complaint about something or advice or some kind of feedback, and understanding how to kind of put that into perspective, you know, like how do you respond to one person while honoring their individuality and their wants and needs, while also keeping in mind that there are like 300, 400 other people, thousands actually, like over the course of weeks and months, who aren't coming to you, who also have valid needs and wants. You know, juggling that, like, in your mind and understanding how to react to these sorts of things has been my, you know, a big part of my work for the past, you know, like I said, 20 years. And so, you know, thinking about it that way, it's like, how do you think about these people who are emailing me, you know, pouring out the fact that, you know, sharing with me the fact that, you know, they come from, you know, a household where their father wasn't present, or where their father passed away, or in some cases, like, terrible stories of, like, abuse and neglect. You know, how do you handle that while also, you know, thinking about, like, well, you know, I do want to make this a career, so I do want to continue to make content that just, you know, maintains engagement and is fun, And it just so happens that with my background and just the way that I've sort of, you know, grown into myself, that I felt up for the task. Like, I felt like, actually, yeah, I was startled at first, but then once I kind of got a lay of the land and realized what was going on, I realized, you know, this is something actually, you know, I won't say that it's something I can handle, but it's something that I am willing to take on. Like, this is something that I actually feel somewhat suited to do.
And so this whole career started taking off. And then, as you mentioned, you had kind of your personal situation where your marriage ended, and you decided, in part because you had friends in LA, but in part because of your kind of career aspirations, that would be a good move. What was did you have any specific expectations in terms of how you thought things might change for you when you moved to LA from a career perspective and also from a social perspective? And did it live up to expectations?
Well, there's a few things. You know, one is, like, you know, I have talent management. I have, like, a management team. I was approached in early 2021 through a friend. I was introduced to someone who was a talent manager at, you know, not one of the big two, like, what is it, WMECAA, whatever, like these different agencies. This is more of a talent management. For whatever reason, they saw potential in me beyond just being a social media, you know, person. And so we've been talking about, like, trying to make a TV show, a couple different TV show concepts. And, yeah, so, like, basically they're trying to be advisors in my career and help advise and sort of mold and shape me in that sort of way. And so, you know, I would have meetings with them on the phone and over Zoom. And I thought, you know, it would be nice to be able to have some of these meetings in person. You know, granted, we're still in a pandemic, but, you know, things have been opening up here and there. And so whether it's those or other kind of meetings also, like, you know, and then there were a little events here and there that were happening in Los Angeles. And especially when it comes to, like, Asian American sort of entertainment community type get-togethers and different events and stuff. And so I just wanted to not miss out on those things. It was a little bit of FOMO. And so, yeah. The other part of it is that Los Angeles has a very kind of, like, looming presence within, like, the Asian American sort of community around the country and I guess around the world. I mean, it's just the core. Los Angeles and New York City, it's a little bit different than East Coast, West Coast kind of cultures, but, you know, it just feels like Los Angeles is, I mean, LA has this huge Koreatown, right? And so being Korean American, you know, LA has unquestionably, like, the best Korean food in the United States. I think it's probably the best Korean food outside of Korea. And so, you know, that kind of thing just makes it, like, I can't believe that I live 10 minutes away from Koreatown right now. Like, my kids also bask in the incredibleness of Korean food excellence every time we visited, and now we lived 10 minutes away. And so, like, there's that element of it that was really a big deal for me too, which is, like, you know, I'm sure in the UK for a lot of people, it's like, whether they live in London for any period of time or not is kind of like a big deal, especially for a young person, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Am I going to move to the big city, or am I going to stay, you know, in a smaller city or, like, in a rural area? And I think, you know, in the U.S. there is a similar sort of feeling when it comes to both New York and Los Angeles. And I think it's even more so being an Asian American person. Los Angeles is a big deal.
You moved to L.A. You had all this wonderful food. And friends that wouldn't visit you. But as you were saying, so you got here and then you found that actually from a career standpoint, it wasn't that needed. And I was curious, I mean, do you think that would always have been the case? Or do you think that's something that's in this kind of post-pandemic world where everybody's kind of a lot more willing to do things digitally and people are moving away from the cities? I mean, do you think the timing has impacted your experience?
It's hard to say. I think that you know, so far, like, for instance, you know, before I moved, I shot a commercial with Alaska Airlines here in the U.S. At the very end of 2021. And that production was here at the Paramount Studios in Los Angeles. And so, you know, after a year, we were going to do another round of commercials that we just shot, you know, in December. And I expected, oh, this is great. I'll finally be able to commute from home to this job. And then they moved the production to a whole different city because they wanted it, like, in an airport terminal. And they found one that was in another part of California, you know. Like, whether it's that kind of work, I mean, I think that this is very relevant, I think, to not just sort of living a life as a entertainment person, but also specifically like a social media entertainment person, mm-hmm. that you really don't know what the future holds. You know, you could be doing brand deal after brand deal, as I did like a year ago. And then as happened, you know, in the middle of last year, all of a sudden, like, those start slowing down, like, dramatically. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, marketing budgets and the slowdown in the economy, you know, all that sort of thing. I, you know, I've been fortunate to be able to still make a good living. But, you know, the trajectory of where, you know, work was, it wasn't what I'd anticipated, you know, in terms of the continued growth. And that's just kind of how this town works, you know, not to sound like a grizzled veteran, but you know, it's kind of how it works here, that, you know, you can have all the expectations and plan that you want. But when your livelihood depends so heavily on whether others are choosing you or casting you or, you know, kind of thing, it's really hard to predict and make plans. And so, you know, I'd made a plan and prediction, and I came to Los Angeles. I don't regret it one bit. You know, I don't want to, you know, confuse the issue. Like, you know, I met my girlfriend Kimmy here. My children, like, my daughters really love it here in Los Angeles. Being able to connect with friends and folks, and especially, you know, people traveling through Los Angeles also, like, as so many do. And, you know, being so close to Disneyland and Universal Studios and things like that are a lot of fun for the whole family. You know, those things are all, you know, have made it really, really great. Not to mention all the food.
It's funny because even when I was talking to Tarquin last week, I mean, the Korean food in Koreatown was something that, you know, even he as a Brit in LA, kind of he pulled out as being one of his absolute favorite things about the city. So I don't know that I've ever had Korean food. I don't know that it's really a thing here. So I will definitely be spoiled with my first Korean food experiences when I get there.
Well, obviously it's going to be with us together whenever you get here.
Yes.
When your visa issues get sorted and you land.
Then yeah.
Yeah, we it's a date.
Yay, I can't wait. That's so exciting.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to the most in Los Angeles, like, you know, about coming here, aside from just, like, being in a different place? And, yeah, what do you think you're looking forward to the most?
I mean, the being in a different place is a big thing for me because until I had Devin, I moved around an awful lot. I lived overseas a lot. You know, it was never such a big deal for me. I'm not someone that's kind of intimidated by change or by new places. And so relatively regularly, every couple of years or so, I'd be like, oh, let's move to this country. Let's take that job and let's go there. And then since I had my son and especially having him on my own, I didn't really feel like I was able to do that. In the early years, I think because I felt like I physically wouldn't have been able to cope. And then as he's got older, you know, he's in a school and he's got his friends and so there's a lot more to consider, right? But
right.
Found myself in the situation where we had this job offer. It seemed to make sense. It was with a former employer, so I knew them well. And I also know LA. And so I think everything kind of came together. So I'm just excited to be somewhere new, to be somewhere warm. I mean, out of Manchester, out of the rain, although at the moment you guys are having a bit of rain, right? But not as much as here. And to meet new people and to be in new surroundings. I mean, as well, LA specifically, I mean, I'm someone that I just thrive in creative environments, and I kind of, I get a lot from the people that surround me. And I've had a good last year in Manchester, I will say. Like, the radio thing has been fantastic. I've enjoyed kind of learning new skills and stuff. But the last few years, I would say that the majority of my social life has been in London, on the rare occasion that I've got to go there, for that very reason, that I get a real kick from being in these kind of creative communities. So I'm excited to do that and to, yeah, just to experience new things in the sunshine, in the warmth. That's the main
thing. Yeah, a couple things, you know, that inspires for me. One is I would encourage you to practice and train your eyeballs to roll up into up as far as they go, because you're going to be rolling your eyes over and over again when you hear people here complain about how cold it is, and to have it still be like jacket weather. You know, the amount of times someone's like, oh my God, it's so cold here or there. And I'll say like, oh really? How much is it going to snow? And they're right. Like, what? What are you talking about? I'll say exactly. You know, people have no perspective, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to weather. And the other thing that makes me think about a lot, and this comes up a lot when it comes, you know, when people talk about Los Angeles, is there's a certain kind of stereotype. Right, there's this image that Los Angeles has. So for instance, like, people will visit and they'll go to Hollywood, they'll drive through Beverly Hills, they'll watch, you know, shows based in LA on TV, and they'll say, oh, I can't stand LA, like, everyone's so plastic, everyone's so fake, everyone has BBLs and, you know, whatever kind of plastic surgery, and, you know, trying to drive, you know, fancy cars and whatever. And it's just so interesting that so many people seem to love to hold on to that stereotype. I know I did. You know, that was my initial impression of LA for whatever reason. You know, it's the thing that media kind of teaches you. And then, you know, once you start spending time in different parts and getting to know more and more people, it really is so much of what you said, that, like, there's so much creativity. Really some of the most amazingly creative people. And I gotta say, like, one thing that I think life has taught me a lot and has really kind of been even more important more recently is, you know, creativity is not just about art or about making film or dance or music. You know, creativity can be in how you approach your relationships. Creativity shows up in how you parent. You know, creativity shows up in all parts of people's lives. And again, I don't mean it in an artistic sort of way. I mean, like, thinking outside of the box, like, you know, imagining possibilities beyond what you've even experienced yourself, you know, what you could provide for yourself and your child or your family or your friends, you know, that kind of thing. To just be surrounded by so many creative people who come from all over the world. I mean, that in so many ways is, that energy is so palpable if you are tuned to it. And, you know, yeah. I encourage anyone who's listening, like, you know, when you visit Los Angeles, when you come here, to really sort of pay attention and look around and try to kind of take in that level of creativity.
And I will say, you know what you said earlier about LA being kind of having this stereotype of being kind of plastic and perfect and all of that. I mean, I turned, as you know, 40 a few months ago. And it has crossed my mind, like, I'm moving to LA at the age of 40. You know, I'm going to start to decline physically at some point. Like, do I have to maintain this kind of, do you know what I mean? This kind of, like, I'm at that age now where it's like, do I need to be getting a bit more work done? Do I need to be doing that? I saw this quote that it was like in LA, the only way to know that you're getting older is when you start looking younger or something. It was paraphrasing. But it was, and it said anyone that can move their forehead after the age of 40 is treated with suspicion. And I was like,
oh, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, here in the States, people, you know, kind of talk about New York and LA and compare and contrast a lot. And, you know, New York definitely has more fashion happening. You know, people are more concerned with how they dress. And people, I think on the whole, I would say that people dress, you know, air quotes, better in New York. But in L.A., the culture is a little bit more, you know, taking care of yourself, your body, your mind, your, you know, soul kind of thing, a little bit more. And I think, you know, You say that about yourself also. I know that, you know, it wasn't that long ago that you posted pictures of yourself on your Instagram, you know, going swimming and things like that. Like, you know, yeah, you look at that and like, oh, like Laura's going to fit in just perfectly. Here's one more thing, though. I think that, you know, you're talking about preparing in that way. It's one of my favorite things in life, truly in life, is to hear folks like yourself from the UK or from other sort of English speaking. I mean, I guess anywhere else in the world, to hear what your American accent sounds like. you've lived here. You know, what is your version of what it sounds like to speak American?
Oh my God, I was not expecting to be put on the spot. Okay, I will do this on the condition that I get your British accent in return.
Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah?
We'll start with the American one.
Oh my God. Well, you need to ask me something. I feel like I need... Ask me a question and I'll come back with my best American accent. Oh my God, I'm blushing. I'm glad that we've just turned the video off because I'm like sweating a little bit now.
Let's see. When you come to California, what are some of the kind of other places around here that you want to travel to? Like what you want to see?
So I want to take Devin on like a road trip. I want to go to like Yosemite.
Yeah, Yosemite's beautiful. Where else?
Yosemite's beautiful. I want to go up to, okay, so there's the aquarium that's up in Monterey, I think. This is
yes.
So embarrassing.
Monterey Aquarium is one of the best in the world. Oh, you're fantastic.
But yeah, Monterey Aquarium, I want to go to because of Finding Dory, I think it was in, or kind of a version of. Because actually in 2020, we were supposed to go there. I booked tickets to take him there in summer of 2020. We were going to do a big road trip. I'd booked all the hotels. It was happening. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. So,
yes.
And that was before I even knew I was moving there. I mean, that was completely unrelated. But I used to spend my summers there as a child. And I thought, oh, I want to kind of share some of that with him. So, yeah, I want to take him out and about and show him that, like, we do road trips here in the UK and we do enjoy a road trip, but I mean it's not a very big island, so I'm excited to
California is so beautiful. There's so much to do and to see. Oh wait, should I have to do a British accent?
Yes please, because I'm still like
so
melting
hard.
I know,
it's so hard to do it when you put on the spot. it's kind of hard. It's a little bit hard to do an accent. Oh my God, it's terrible. I'm usually better than this.
Okay, come on, focus. It's a bit hard.
Okay. It's a bit hard to do an accent when you're talking to someone. When you... that's all I got.
No, the talking, you did that very nicely. I liked the way that you said talking.
Yeah, talking.
Could you bottle of water.
Water. It's really funny because usually it's doing accents and things like that aren't very hard for me, but for some reason being put on the spot, it's a little bit hard.
I'm so glad that you know how I feel, because I'm literally like, my face is puce from having to try and do that American accent, and I feel
it is truly one of my favorite things in life.
Well, I'm glad that we've shared this moment. Nick, I feel like we could talk all day, but at some point I'm going to have to let you finish your road trip. Are you nearly in San Diego now? Have you nearly made it?
We're getting there. I think it's almost time to stop for lunch.
Wonderful.
I don't know what we're going to eat, but we'll find one of these fantastic American drive-through places to stop and have something to eat.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for taking us on your little journey, and enjoy the sunshine. I hope the rain stays away and you can have a wonderful weekend in San Diego. And I am absolutely going to hold the pair of you to Korean food when I get there. So book me in your diaries, please.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing more updates on the podcast. Congratulations on a fantastic podcast. Enjoying every episode. And good luck with all the visa stuff. We'll cross our fingers and toes over here.
Thank you. Nick, where can people find you, by the way? The whole world follows you, but just in case there's someone listening that doesn't.
You're Korean Dad on TikTok and Nick Cho, N-I-C-K-C-H-O, most other platforms.
Wonderful. Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining, and I will see you in Koreatown. What about that, hey? A trip across LA with your Korean dad, Nick Cho. Really interesting to hear the perspective of someone that's moved to LA so recently. Really hoping that I'm going to be able to share some similar anecdotes of my own before too long. Now, as ever, thank you so much for joining me here on Straight Outta Crompton. Please subscribe and review the podcast if you like what you hear, and hit me up on LC_presents on Instagram with any feedback. This is Manchester and LA signing off for now. See you again soon.